We join to look at this story of Jeremiah. Over these past weeks, we've been looking at different aspects of Jeremiah's life and his ministry. And this morning, we're going with Jeremiah to pay a visit in his neighborhood, in his area. But before we do that, I want to take you to a lady's house in Kenya. The lady is called Flora. When Heather and I lived in Kenya in the mid-80s, Flora wasn't that far from where we lived. And Flora produced pots. Pots which in many ways look very basic, but she did her best to put little designs on them to give them some sort of beauty, to make them look a little bit different. And not only pots, Flora was also very artistic, so she would produce. There's a lovely figure, and we've got several of these in the house, and they're quite fragile, so I need to be careful with this one, but she produced beautiful things. Very, very basic. She dug clay out of the ground where she lived. She molded it. She shaped it. She had a very simple wheel for throwing pots on. When it came to firing it, she didn't have a kiln to put it into. When it came to firing it, she used to pile all of her pots and all of her figures out in the field and cover them with dry grass and straw and then cover them with branches and twigs and set a huge bonfire. And that was how she fired these things, just in a massive bonfire in the middle of her field. Some of them didn't survive it, but the ones that did were worth having. And I'm thankful that we've got some of Flora's bits and pieces in the house, some of her heads and some of her pots, and I'm going to put them down here because I don't think they'd bounce very well if I went over the edge. But Flora didn't always make decorative things like that, ornaments. When she started out as a potter, Flora made great big jars for keeping your water in. When you don't have a tap to turn on, you need some way of storing water. So Flora made these great jars to keep your water in and kept the water cool and clean. She made jars to keep food supplies in. She made pots for cooking in. All these things she made, things which were useful and everybody needed, and everybody went to Flora to get their pots and their containers made. But then things changed because plastic containers became available, metal pots became available, and people no longer wanted the old clay ones. And so she moved into making more ornamental stuff. But she had been there making all those things, digging the clay out of the ground on a very, very basic potter's wheel, throwing those pots, piling them up, burning this bonfire over the top of them to fire them, producing those pots. Probably in a way similar to the work of the potter that Jeremiah watched. But it wasn't fancy. It wasn't a potter that you and I might go and visit now as we go to a craft exhibition or a craft display and we see someone producing these beautiful things. It was very basic, but it was so necessary. Everybody needed them. Everybody needed some way of storing, of keeping food and drink and water and so on in there. Everybody needed it. And Jeremiah hears this word from God. He must have been very familiar with the potter. Everybody used the potter in the village, in the town. But God says to Jeremiah, "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message." But strange. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So Jeremiah goes down and watches the potter at work, and I'm guessing he has probably seen the potter doing these things many times, but now he sits watching and waiting for what God is going to say to him. On his wheel there's a lump of clay. He turns the wheel with his feet to get it moving, and the wheel starts to spin. And with those skilled, experienced fingers, he begins to shape and to mold that clay, putting a little pressure here, a little bit more there, pulling it up, and the pot starts to rise up out of that great lump of clay. And if you've ever watched a potter, it looks so easy. But if you've ever tried it, you'll know that's not the case. The potter does this, just molding and shaping what looks something that has no shape, no form, into something that's both beautiful and useful. And so Jeremiah watches this again, wondering what God is going to say to him. But on that day, Jeremiah doesn't just see a pot being made. Jeremiah sees God at work. Jeremiah sees God making a people for his glory. He sees a people of God being shaped and formed and molded, made in the very image of God. And as he watches this potter carefully and skillfully mold a pot, suddenly one of them is thrown out of shape. Not because the potter has made a mistake. Not because the potter has not been concentrating or is not skilled, but because there's something in the clay. Maybe it's a little pebble or something in the clay that just throws the whole thing off, or maybe it's an air bubble. Who knows? But there's a fault in the clay. As you read through here, the clay is marred. The clay is not good for that pot. And it goes out of shape. So what will he do? The clay won't work with the potter. Does he gather up that lump of clay, throw it in the bin, go online to clay.com and order another batch? What does he do? Well, as Jeremiah watches this potter, he gathers up that clay, he molds it, he puts it back on the wheel, and he does something different with it. It's not the pot that it was going to be originally, but now that I know how this clay is going to react, I'll do something different with it. I shape it and form it in a different way. So he forms it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. So his creative work starts over again. Uses the same clay, but forms something new and different. And so we read, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Just as the clay is in the hand of that skilled, experienced potter, so are you, my people, in my hands. That's how God speaks to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah begins to see new things. And it's a message of both hope and warning. Here's the message of hope, which Liz read for us. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. There's a message of hope. God's people had turned their backs on him. It was like that lump of clay which just refused to work with the potter. And what would you do? Throw it away? Start with something new? Well, God said, no, like the potter, we're going to do something different. But I'll still use you. Just come back. There's a message of hope. For people who were hearing Jeremiah say, listen, if you don't turn back, disaster's coming your way. There's a message of hope in this picture of the potter at work. But there's also a warning. Because again, we read in this passage, if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Should have been something useful and beautiful, but if it was not going to work with the potter, with the one who shaped and formed it, then something else will happen. Should have been beautiful, but it wasn't. And there's that period of reshaping, which was painful but worth it. Shaping, forming. That's what God's about. And as Jeremiah watches the potter working with this clay that seems to struggle against him, he sees a new picture of God working with his people. Something that Jeremiah would have known about. Right away back in the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, we read of God calling him. God calling him to be a prophet. And hear the words that were said. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew you. So right back from the very start, Jeremiah had been part of this shaping and forming and molding process. God, from the very beginning, had been working in Jeremiah's life to make him the person that he needed and wanted in that time, at that place, shaping and molding him. God shaped Jeremiah for his work, for his life. God shaped his people. God is still shaping his people. Jesus didn't call it shaping. Jesus called it pruning. Jesus spoke about being the vine. John 15, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. This shaping and forming so that God's people are fruitful, so that God's people do that for which they were meant. The potter made something that was useful out of that lump of clay. God takes people, even the most unlikely of people, as you read through Scripture, shapes them and molds them so that they may be used in God's plan and God's purposes. And part of the good news of the gospel is that God is still at this shaping work. Part of the good news of the gospel is that there is no clay which is so bad that he cannot use it. There is no clay that is so rough that he cannot shape it and mold it. There is no life that is so distorted that it cannot be redeemed by the blood of Christ and shaped by the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the good news of the gospel. No matter what is going on in your life, in your heart, in your head, God can, by his Holy Spirit, work in you, shape you, and mold you. That shaping and molding still goes on. These are troubled times. I don't know how many people remember to, obviously you folks remember to put your clocks back last night. As many people have observed, the last thing we need in this year is another hour, but we've got it. Troubled times. But in these troubled times, I have no doubt that one of the things that God is doing is shaping and molding. Because those other influences which would have shaped and molded our lives have been pulled away from us. And we're left remembering that we are clay in the potter's hands. I have no doubt that God is at that shaping, molding, forming work in his people and in our world so that we might serve and honor him better. Just like the potter who wants to produce a pot which will fulfill its function, so God is shaping his people to fulfill our function. To be light in this dark world. To be salt in a world which seems to be just going bad. God is shaping his people. But we need to be careful. He holds out that hope for us, but there's also that warning. Because sometimes we might think, you know what? I'm perfectly shaped. I don't need to be molded anymore. I don't need to be formed anymore. I've done it all. Well, if that's how you think, then you're not deceiving God, but you are deceiving yourself. Because again, these days have reminded us that we are not perfectly shaped and formed for God. We're not perfectly formed. We never will be this side of heaven.